It's 7:44 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, we'll visit with a woman who transitioned from male to female. Everything but her voice, which has been one of the hardest tasks.
In a perfect world, yeah, I would use my real voice. But that's... I'm going to be treated in a way that's going to make it difficult.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Trey Kay, host of WVPB's program, Us and Them, first heard about a transgender woman in Charleston, West Virginia in 2014. Ann Kelly Skinner, formerly Greg Skinner, was in the process of transitioning from male to female. Trey got in touch with Ann, and they ended up talking about what we'll hear in this excerpt from our show, Us and Them, the way Ann talks.
Hello, Trey. This is Ann Kelly, and I received your Facebook message and the introduction from DL, and I'm giving you a call. My number is 304.
This was the first voicemail message Ann left for me, and then immediately afterwards, she sent me a spirally apologetic email, the kind that makes you think, I have no idea what you're talking about. She was apologizing for the quality of her voice, her femme voice, as she called it. She wrote, "It was cold out. I was really tired to begin with. My femme voice was shot to hell from overuse lately. And due to the earbuds I was wearing, I realized I could not hear the quality, or lack thereof, of my voice. The interesting part is that I damn near panicked and froze up in mid-sentence, which was a first for me."
Excuse me. "The reality of folks' lives is typically that your voice is your voice is your voice, right? At least it's your voice until all of a sudden it's all wrong, and then it becomes something else entirely different altogether."
Something she needed to conquer, like a little traitor in her throat, giving her away. Raising the pitch of your voice can be a huge ordeal for male to female transsexuals. There is a whole episode of the Caitlyn Jenner reality show, I Am Kate, devoted to her struggles with her voice. And at some level, I understood why it is so important, and on some other level, I didn't. At the very least, I didn't understand why Anne was worried about what she sounded like to me. Oh, and as a reminder, as you will shortly discover, there is language in this episode which is offensive to some people.
Who gives a what I think?
Yeah, I know, right? Who really should? No one, really. But, you know, the reality is people make these judgments because my natural voice just, it doesn't cut it. In a perfect world, yeah, I would use my real voice. But that's, I'm going to be treated in a way that's going to make it difficult.
It would be one thing if Anne planned to live her life as a trans woman, but that's not what she wants to do. She wants to live her life as a woman without any prefixes, which was especially difficult when we first met because she was living part-time as a man, as Greg Skinner. In a way, her story embodies the three literary conflicts you learned about in high school: man versus nature, man versus society, and in this case, man versus herself.
You know, I've worked really hard on this. I've worked really hard on my body. I've worked really hard to be comfortable with myself, and I've worked really, really hard to like myself. And so, you know, I want to be taken seriously.
I first sat down with Anne in January 2015. By that point, she'd been through a lot. She'd spent years hiding her feelings that she was a woman, felt ashamed, attempted suicide once. Then, after finally accepting who she was, she literally worked her butt off changing her body. She took hormones and shed 50 pounds off her big, bulky dude frame. Anne is 6'4". So her height, plus the way she sounds, is sort of a double strike against her femininity. After successfully changing her body through sheer force of will, she set about doing the same thing to her voice.
Okay, so this is taking a recording of my voice, presumably, and hopefully...
Her main strategy was to get in the car and record voice memos of herself. She sent me 37 recordings that she made over the course of 3 months.
I am trying to practice so that I don't sound like a complete and total male. Okay, I'm going to listen to it.
She'd stop recording, go back, listen to it, and then start recording again, over and over and over.
Okay, here's my new voice memo.
I would just talk and talk and talk. If I saw like a sign on the side of the road, or if a truck passed me, I would describe the truck or the license plate, or if somebody was driving too slow in front of me and I wanted to pass them but I couldn't get around them, I would talk about them and my displeasure of not being able to get around them in my voice that I was practicing.
So I will pass this slow and it'll all be good. And
it's not like Anne is that much different of a person than Greg was.
This is Anne's best friend, Dan Radmacher. They've been friends for 15 years.
It's funny because as we got to know her as Anne and hang out with her, my wife and I would talk about it, you know, after she left, and we'd say, you know, she's really pulling it off, except for the voice. And especially after she's had a beer or two, or three, or four, you know, it's like the voice gets deeper and louder.
Dan has a pretty pivotal supporting role in the story of Anne's transition and her voice. He's one of the first people Anne came out to, and he's the first person who heard her femme voice live and in person. It was spring of 2014. Anne had driven down to visit Dan in Roanoke and to attend her first transgender support group meeting down there. She showed up as Greg and then changed into a multicolored blouse accented with drop earrings. When she came downstairs, the first words she spoke to Dan, as Anne, were, "I need another beer."
I felt really silly because I had known him for so long and I had talked to him in my Greg voice. I mean, that's what he knew and that's what I knew and that's how we just talked. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm changing everything. It was also much harder to do than I thought, because I was focusing so much on my voice that I wasn't really hearing what he was saying. And I found myself having to say, "I'm sorry, what was the question again?" And he had to repeat himself a lot.
We've been listening to an excerpt of the Us and Them episode, which is called Reconnecting with Femme Voice. To hear the entire episode, tune in to West Virginia Public Broadcasting Saturday at 3 p.m. And of course, you can download the Us and Them podcast from iTunes, Stitcher, NPR One, or Radio Public. You can also listen online at wvpublic.org. Songwriter James McMurtry is highly admired by listeners and peers alike for his astute observations and ability to develop characters while painting scenery with just a few well-chosen words. Our song of the week is McMurtry's State of the Union, which depicts a family's inner conflicts while standing grudges and stubborn optimism.
My brother is a fascist, lives in Palacios, fishes the pier every night. He holsters his Glock in a double retention, he smokes while he waits for a bite. He don't like the Muslims, he don't like the Jews, he don't like the blacks, and he don't trust the news. He hates the Hispanics and alternate views, he'll tell you it's tough to be white. My sister's a Christian, she likes to go fishing, she don't mind my brother at all. She puts her on redfish and flounder and trout, and they tear up the flats in the fall. She gets back to Dallas all sunburnt and sour, worn out from slinging plugs hour after hour, seeing spots when she closes her eyes in the shower. she don't see a conflict at all. It's the state of the union, I guess. It's always been iffy at best. And we're all in the family, the cursed and the blessed. It's the state of the union, I guess. Now mother turned 80, consummate lady. We took her to Golden Corral, 'cause she likes the yeast rolls and Bourbon Street chicken. We ought to know better by now, 'cause me and my brother got into it good. I called him a hick and he called me a hood, and he said Dad always treated his Mexicans good. I guess you think you're better somehow. Yeah, you think you're better, cardigan sweater, snowflake if ever there was. You think you're so cool, you did good in school, you got whipped every day on the bus. Sister lit out for the shouting got worse. Went to Wednesday night prayer at that new Christian church with a cross on her neck and a nine in her purse. She might be the wisest of us. It's the state of the union, I say. Christmas dinner could be hell to pay.
That was James McMurtry live on Mountain Stage performing State of the Union. To hear this and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.